Take your Bible this morning and go to Matthew chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 2. As you're turning, I couldn't help myself this morning. I was sitting there and thinking about the message, and if I mess up, what am I going to do? You say, preacher, you don't think about that kind of stuff. Well, I'm going to trust the Lord to speak through me this morning, but just in case somebody left me something I could fix it with later. All right, so, you know. Just couldn't help myself. It was stuck in the pulpit there. Couldn't help it. Amen. One of the announcements I missed is Rashad and Asia are getting married on Saturday, December the 17th, right down at the college chapel. Or no, right here in the church at 2 p.m. I almost messed it up right here. Amen. And then Brother Doug walked this up, and I wanted to wait till now to speak something as you're turning. We do have the Christmas newsletter from the radio station. It's on the back table, and the reason I didn't say it, I was afraid some of you might try to use the bathroom so you could read this during the service this morning. So they're in the back, and you can get them right after the service, amen? And it does give a little bit of just some information. Looking forward to Restore-a-thon already. You say, preacher, that's so far down the road. We're already working on it. We're already busy about that, amen? Looking into the next year and what God is going to do, not only through the radio, but through our church and our ministry. But I want to just say again, if you had missed a Sunday, maybe you were sick or didn't get in touch with us, we had a missions month, a wonderful missions month, and we've already reached our mission goal. So if you hadn't heard that yet, I just wanted to just say thank you again to the church for being faithful. Amen. That faith promise, that faith part is being, God is always going to be faithful to send it to us. And I just want to be thankful for our church that then took what God gave you and gave it back to him, amen, so that people could hear about the gospel around the world. What a blessing it is, a faith promise. I'm so glad that we not only heard about it, but we practice it here at Landmark, and we watch God be faithful through us every year, amen. And it doesn't mean that you have to stop giving. We keep going all the way to the end of the year. But because, again, that doesn't mean that because we met our goal that the needs of every missionary have been met. Amen. So, again, we thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done. Today for the tape room, Matthew chapter number 2, we're going to have kind of a Christmas message, if you would, today. But the wise men, for the title for the tape room, wise men seek the supernatural. Wise men seek the supernatural. You know, sometimes we don't really speak about that, and I think there was an age maybe in the late 80s, early 90s with the whole Holy Spirit, tongues movement, all the things, and people wanted to steer clear of using the terminology, the supernatural. You know, supernatural is just things that aren't natural. Amen. It means it's be above that. It's when God does something that is not just under the natural laws of this earth. That means like gravity, you know? If someone were to float, that's not natural, right? When God does something that changes things that are bound by natural laws, that's supernatural. And I hope you realize that the Christmas season, the whole story of Jesus Christ is supernatural, especially his coming. You know, we don't often just take it for face value. Sometimes we've heard that story so many times we miss the supernatural things that happen at the coming of Jesus Christ. The wise men did not miss it. The wise men were looking for the supernatural. These were men, we typically use the term magi, you know. We always, because of the wise men, you know, we think of them as three men because they brought three gifts, and that necessarily was not the case. It could have been a much bigger caravan than three men. The Bible is going to use the terminology in our story today, or in the scripture today, treasures. They opened of their treasures. Doesn't mean they gave everything they had, but they gave a portion of what they were carrying with them to the Christ child. And so this morning, as we read and look at this, you know, there's so many people, I can't help but say it. It was so funny to me because, you know, we have nativity scenes, and, you know, here it places Christ at almost 2 years old, at least if he was born when the star appeared. We're not given any indication that it wasn't that maybe Mary and Joseph were making their track to Bethlehem and the star appeared over them and the wise men began their track. But Herod is going to ask them diligently how long it had been since the star appeared, not for good reasons. Now, he lies to him and says, I'd like to come worship him too. But really what he meant was he wanted to come and kill him. The world has always been trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. I said before that, you know, the world tried to kill Christmas in name and make it Xmas, which just makes my stomach sick when I even hear that terminology. But there's been so many times that they've tried to end the Word of God, end the story of Jesus Christ. They want to get it out of their minds. And we've been teaching through the book of Romans, and people are like that. They would rather say Happy Holidays than they would Merry Christmas. Because there's a name that's above every name that's set right in the midst of that word. You know, and I remember my preacher getting up when I was just a teenage boy and said, don't you dare say Happy Holidays. You say Merry Christmas. Don't matter what they say to you, you be a witness for Christ and say Merry Christmas back to them. And folks, I practice that till this day. And I'm blessed when I walk into a store and, you know, people don't feel like they have to say something corporate anymore. You know, that age is past, but you know, that don't mean the fight is over. There's nothing new under the sun, and if we live and the Lord tarries is coming, there'll be another fight over that. The world will try to battle for that again, you know. It's just like preacher said, you know, the old manhole that's out in the street, they're person holes now, right? But we still call them manholes. The world is constantly trying to change words and terminology. They're having a battle over protecting marriage, and that's not God's definition of marriage. Never has been. What they're trying to do is trying to protect their sin. They're trying to battle for their position because it's different than God's position. You know, if you just stick with God's book, oftentimes God defends his own positions. The things that God has set and ordained are supernatural, and they keep clockwork. They keep going until he shuts them down. Until one day, like the stars in space and the sun in the sky, he just rolls them up. Okay, I'm finished with you. I'm going to set you over here out of the way. This morning in Matthew chapter 2, we see that, again, this is time period. Remember, and maybe you have never heard that before, but the wise men didn't show up right behind the shepherds. The Bible is going to tell us that they meet him in a house, not in a stable. To be truthful and just mindful of the situation, not only have Mary and Joseph been in Bethlehem, they've left Bethlehem. According to the law and according to the scripture, they had to go up to Jerusalem and make a sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. They kept the law. What the law ordered, they did with every son that opened the womb. They went there to the, and even in the picture of the humble beginning of Jesus Christ in the stable, that's humble. And in the manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we said, but you want to see what's even more humbling is their financial workings, if you would. They go up and the lamb that was slain before this foundation of the world doesn't have a lamb slain for him. Although it would have been appropriate and it was ordered, but for the poor or the family that didn't have that much money, they could offer a turtle dove. They could offer a smaller animal because they couldn't afford to offer a lamb. And the Lord Jesus doesn't have a lamb slain for him at his birth. He has the cheapest thing that was available to him under the law to cover, but still there was blood shed and a picture of what this child would do for the world. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's some supernatural things that we find here. Let's read the scripture, but first let's pray and then we will run hard for home today. Dear Lord, I come to you the best way I know how, and again, I submit myself to your word, to your will. God, I pray that you would just help me to be your servant, Lord, and just use me. God, speak through me. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would preach a message to your people that they need today. If there's one in our midst, without a doubt, there's someone that's coming through the building this morning that does not know Christ. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that people surrender to be a part of your church. Lord, I pray today some would join through baptism. I pray that you would do the work, all the pieces of the Great Commission that need to be fulfilled today. I pray that you would fulfill it through our church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wise men seek the supernatural. You know, wise men are guys who kind of got it down. I can see these guys as we're going about to read the scripture today. They had some things all together and they were watching. They were watching for the supernatural. And when it came, they followed to see it. Read the scripture with me this morning in chapter 2. I see in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Now, let me just say, for all of you that don't understand the supernatural circumstances that surround the birth of Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, Jesus Christ is born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. That is supernatural, and we'll speak of it. But think about all the supernatural happenings that God had to step into eternity to make this happen. All the way back with Abraham. With Abraham was a friend and walked with God. God said, "You know what? I am going to choose to raise up." Now, I know everybody thinks that there's all kinds of nations and races of people, but God always deals with every nation and race with two different groups, Jew and Gentile. God's always done that. So he raised up out of the Gentile horde of the earth. He said, "I'm going to separate a people through Abraham. I am going to do the supernatural. I'm going to take a man that's almost 100 years old and a wife that's about just a couple, you know, decades shy of that. Neither one that should be able to have a child, but I'm going to raise up from Abraham a miracle seed that will have a nation, a group of people that cannot be numbered by the stars, the sands of the sea." He said, "You can't number how many of them that are going to come out of this miracle nation. And I'm going to bring my seed," not seeds, but seed. Throughout the scripture in the Old Testament, there's a prophecy of one that would come that was through Abraham's lineage. That, my friend, is supernatural. It's a supernatural change. God raised up a nation and group of people where one could never have existed had God not intervened. Even in the birth of Jesus Christ, God had prophesied, and as they're quoted here, the prophets have said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, but there's a problem. See, our monkey wrenches doesn't mess with God. God just moves everything that goes on in earth when we try to throw in monkey wrenches. You see, had it been that David's son Solomon had followed God and Solomon's son had followed God and kept the word, then there would still have been a world reign by Israel, because God promised it. God promised, if your sons will follow me, they will reign as kings until the Messiah would come. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't follow God. And their sin still has consequences, folks. Sin had consequences in the Old Testament just like it did. God raised up a Nebuchadnezzar and just smashed Israel and just judged them as a people. Scattered them all over the world. Took some of them back to Babylon. Let some of them stay. God then was patient with his people and long-suffering and raised the nation back up. brought it back to a people group and a place, but always under somebody's thumb. You know, God raised up a group of people, a Roman Empire. And in the fullness of time, God said, this is just the right time. I've got a nation that's so organized. Their army is so precise. They've built roads all over the world that this is just the right time to get my son back to Bethlehem. And a Caesar, God took his heart and said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to commit a census so everybody could be taxed. And I want everybody on planet Earth to go back to the city of their birth, their father's birth. And I want to get a record of who they are, where they're from, and I want their money. Folks, that doesn't just happen. That was supernatural. That's the first time it had ever happened. It's the first time it had ever taken place. And you can read what you want that that's not supernatural, but it's supernatural for God to bring a people and a power into place to get Joseph and Mary, who are in Nazareth, down to Bethlehem. Supernatural. I mean, again, all this is introduction. That's supernatural. God brings them to a place so that he could fulfill his word in every point. But then we see the wise men. The wise men had no idea that all these supernatural acts were taking place. They knew that God had promised to bring a king who would save his people from their sins. And though they were not Jews, they knew that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles as well. And they looked forward and they saw a light, one that had never appeared again. You say, how can it scientifically be explained? It can. It's supernatural. God, again, and we could go in the Old Testament for time's sake. If you want the reference, I'll give it to you. Numbers 24 and verse number 17. It not only references the Lord Jesus in the scripture, but it also references him as a capital S star. Do you know in Numbers, I'm not going to read the scripture today, but that supernatural act, God gave them a marker or a point to follow to find the Messiah. You say, why is that? I'll get to that. That's the message today. I don't want to get ahead of myself, right? But here in the scripture, we see that, first of all, the supernatural guide of the wise men is the star. They saw this star and they recognized that it was supernatural, that it was of God, and that this star wasn't like any other star. Throughout all the wordage of the star, it continues to move. It continues to move until it stops. Folks, I just want you to understand, even in our, it is not the sun that rotates around us. It's we that go around the star that we call the sun. And so even for a star to be perceived that it moves is supernatural. All the other, you know how that they set. Even when we think, well, stars move, they chart the seas by the stars. How we're going to sail and where we're going to be, because they show up in the same place at the same time every year like clockwork. You can take that and chart your path off where you're going, because that set of stars are always going to show up. These men knew this. These men had followed the stars throughout years, but a supernatural star appeared. And instead of charting their way, they charted their way to the star. And they followed it. They followed it to Herod. You say, well, why did they follow it to Herod? Because supernaturally, Jesus had to go to Egypt. Now, they could have bypassed Herod. They could have bypassed him, but God had predicted that his son would go into Egypt and he would call him out of Egypt. Supernaturally, they stopped by and just make Herod aware that the king has been born. It not only shakes up Herod, but the Bible says it shook up all Jerusalem with him. What a witness of his birth. They had never seen these type of men before. These magi come in droves and say that there's a star that we've seen in the east, and we followed it here to speak to you and to tell you that we're seeking your king. that were seeking the Messiah that was predicted, we have seen his star. They recognized that this was not only just supernatural, but that was the star of the Messiah. You say, how did they know that? I don't know. I'm not that wise. They just realized it was supernatural. They realized that the God in heaven, the one that created all things, had created that star and that they could follow it to his son. They followed it. They followed it to Herod. Then they leave Herod. After they're done speaking with him, he says to them, you go and find the child and then come back and tell me. Now, I'm sure they realized they didn't think that Herod had any ulterior motive there. And even in the scripture, they're warned not to return to him. But when they see the star, think about the scripture and look at it with me. I want you to see. In verse number 8, they leave him, all right? And it says, and they sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Verse 8, and it says, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When that they had heard that the king departed, lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I want you to understand, folks, that something happened. They followed it to Herod for a reason because they couldn't find it anymore. They stopped and asked for directions because the star that they had been following somehow disappeared from their sight. They lost it. So what do you do when you lose directions? Before, you know, it would be when your map blew out the window. That's what happened in the old days, right? Or you just couldn't read it right. You just kept turning it. Now it's when you lose signal and your GPS stops moving with you, right? We're solely and wholly dependent upon them things. I'm not sure where I'm going. I hope this magic box does, right? That's how we live in this age. And here they had a magical sign in the heavens that was guiding them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they lose it. What do? Well, we're in Jerusalem. Let's stop and ask somebody. Maybe King Herod will know where the baby should have been born. God brought us this far. Let's ask somebody. Right? So they ask Herod. Herod says, let me ask somebody. All right? Is that every good leader? I don't know the answer, so let me ask somebody that does. Hey, Siri. Right? Now, we live in that day and age where, listen, they had guys that studied the law and the Bible, and they get together and put their heads together. Those were supposed to be wise men. And what's silly to me is that instead of, if they were truly wise, they would have gone with them. You saw this star in the east, let's go down to Bethlehem together. It's not that far. Let's go down and see this thing that God has revealed to us. Let's go see this child. Oh no, they send them. Go ahead on your travels. They get outside the city, and maybe it's just the city lights. Maybe it's just the glitter. Or God superintended that they stop by Herod. And once they get back on their journey, and Bethlehem is their focus, God dials in to the place that they need to go. The Bible says the star appeared again, and they rejoiced, and it went and stood over the house where the child was. Now, I don't know. I mean, these guys are used to charting the stars, but this thing went and stood right supernaturally over the house. Do you know, I can't help but think about what God did for me in salvation and how he guided me. It was no accident, but supernaturally, God worked through people. Do you know, in my town, there was no Baptist church that would give a gospel witness and go soul winning. But God raised up an old Methodist that got saved. Got on fire, realized what he believed was error, went off to a Bible college and became a Baptist because that's what the Bible is. Oh, man, I'm in trouble now. People that are listening on the radio just cringed. Amen? I'm just going to tell you, if you study the Bible doctrine is going to line up with Baptist doctrine. If you're a true Baptist, you know. There's a bunch of people that drop Baptists off their name because they're not Baptist. You say, how'd you bring that into Christmas? I don't know. Get the tape. Listen to how I did it again, all right? So they go on, and I think in my own life, now a Baptist preacher who wasn't a Baptist preacher before was a Methodist comes back to my hometown. burdened. He's got a good church that he started, went through a building program, built a building, but then God squeezes his heart and says, you need to take the gospel of Jesus Christ back to your hometown. And he followed the leading of God and came back to a little old town. Not many people. It was much bigger now. Wasn't a college town back then. Wasn't traffic stopping everywhere, but came and did what God did. Just planted himself and began a church. And I watched God work through. I look back and I know the gospel would have never reached my door. Do you know who knocked our door? You know, nobody tells the story about how all these other three churches knocked our door, and then we finally chose the third one. There were two other Baptist churches in our town. None of them bothered to come by. They were Calvinistic in their belief. They believed that God would put out a star and come. They would come to church and find their way there. But God, after the star and of Jesus, he set this thing. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And he sent people out. And I mean, I can tell you, I can take my story all the way back to a soul winner that knocked the door of somebody in my family and told them face to face about Jesus and what happened. See, that to me is supernatural. It wasn't a natural thing for people to knock doors and to tell somebody else about Jesus. A supernatural event happened in a man's life. He followed God, and then he taught other people to follow God, and one of those people came and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit of God until he knocked the door that would reach my uncle, who would reach my family, who would eventually reach me and change my world forever. Hey, folks, do you know what? I think about these wise men, and I think they traveled so far to see what God would do with their lives. What do we do? How are you following God today? Supernatural God. He's guided to Herod. They're guided to the house. They find when they finally are presented in the house with Jesus. See, they didn't even know his name. You know, we realize that Joseph in verse 25 of chapter 1 names him Jesus. Do you know, this is a transition of ages here. They're still under the Old Testament law and looking for the Messiah. And by the way, Old Testament or New, everybody gets saved by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And right now, these men are in a weird transitional time because everybody in the Old Testament looked forward to the Messiah that would die on the cross and they believed in him. But these men got to fall on their face and call out his name. The name that's above every name. I can imagine, they said, that, can you imagine being there? Jesus is approximately somewhere between, you know, 1.5 or 2 years old, and he is there, still a child, small child, but able to walk, possibly by this time. And for a man to fall down at his feet, just a small child, you know, not quite talking, but maybe just giving out some coos and cahs. And they got to look at him and say, Jesus, my Savior, the one that'll save me from my sins. Can you imagine if they really knew what the Savior would go through? They pictured it in their gifts and they didn't even know it. You see, they had to come. You say, why would God direct magi and put a star and change everything supernaturally? Well, see, when they stopped by Herod, they set things in order that would send the Son of God to fulfill all things in the Old Testament, to go to Egypt and be called out of it. But you know what they would need when they went to Egypt? They would need some gold to carry them through that time. They would need finances. Frankincense is a perfume. It's a very valued perfume. It's also a medicine that they use, an ointment for skin. They provided things that would be of financial value to them. And even myrrh, picturing it's an embalming, an antiseptic. It's something, it's a purifying agent that kills bacteria. Folks, I just want you to understand, those three gifts, they picture so well the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could preach right there in those gifts. But those gifts were not supernatural. The gifts that Jesus would give that picture those three gifts are supernatural. He's the only life giver that can kill the bacteria of sin. He's the only one that can be that sweet-smelling perfume that can heal and help the hungry soul like frankincense. And he's the only one that's as precious as gold to me. He's the only one. Listen, there's some things that we could love on earth, but there is one person that loved my soul and died for it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I see those supernatural things, but they didn't just listen. They saw a supernatural birth. Without a doubt, they came into this home not knowing these two people. And Joseph quickly said, God has entrusted me with this boy, but he's not mine. He's the Son of God. He had a supernatural birth. Mary was chosen of God to carry the Christ child. Can you imagine how that affected wise men? These men wanted to know. They wanted to understand. And they realized not only did God provide a supernatural star for his son, but he provided a supernatural birth for him so that he could give a supernatural salvation. Because only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all sin. Because he didn't have a human father, he had God as his father. Say, oh, preacher, you're getting excited over something we've heard all over the place. Think about the supernatural birthplace. We've already talked about how they got to Bethlehem. God provided a supernatural place for him to be born. Why would they, even after they went up to Jerusalem, why wouldn't they go on into Nazareth and go home? Maybe they weren't ready to share the shame because people thought this was a child born out of wedlock. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe there were still some things with, maybe he found some work. Or maybe God told them to stay there until they saw the wise men. Because they weren't headed to Nazareth. The next stop was Egypt. And God knew it all along. You say, a supernatural? Yeah, a supernatural place. Folks, you know, I don't know where you are this Christmas season, but you may think you're in a bad place. I'm not home. I'm not where I'm comfortable. I'm not right. I'm somewhere in the middle and I'm waiting on God. Well, wait on God until he speaks. Till he sends you to Egypt or he sends you back to Nazareth. Why don't you just stay right where God put you until God moves you? Until you see a star or God provides a place of refuge for you. You know, that's what Egypt was for him. God sent his son and was going to call him back out of the world. But it was a place of protection for him right at that time. Do you know, there's been several times in my life that I felt like my family needed protection. And you know, God always provided it if I followed his will and his way. He always gave us shelter in the midst of the storm. He always took care of us. You know, I see a supernatural house that God has provided right in Bethlehem. They didn't have to stay in the stable. They didn't have to rent a room in the inn. God provided a house for them in the midst of the storm. Not really home, but just a place to pass on until God revealed his complete and perfect will. You know, some Christmases, this Christmas may not feel like you're at home anymore. Home may not feel like home. Somebody may have passed on in your family. Somebody that always comes to Christmas may not be there this year. And you said, how in the world can we have Christmas like this? Just trust God. Walk with him in the midst of the storm. He's still God. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he brought you and where he can take you to. If you'll just trust him and hang with him and stay with him, don't run on God. Just stay right where he has. Sometime along the way, he'll say, this is what I want you next to do. This is the next step. This is where I want you to be. Just stick in the supernatural place that God has brought you in. You say, I don't even know how I made it through this year. By the supernatural provision from an almighty God. Do you know when you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, God does supernatural things? He encourages you in supernatural ways. Say, you're throwing that word supernatural. Listen, this is a supernatural book. I can read the same verse over and over again, and it keeps saying different things, even though the words never change. And speaks to my soul and encourages me the way yesterday, it's his mercies are new. Yesterday, today, and forever, because God never changes. But what I need changes day by day, and my God always meets my need. Day by day, because he knows who I am and where I live. Supernaturally, a birthplace that's supernatural. How about this? How about the supernatural guidance? Look at it with me, and we'll head towards home. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. You know, sometimes the way we came is not the way we go home. Do you know, I mean, even for me, you say, what do you mean? You know, when I was a boy, I thought I'd live and die in my hometown. I thought Barry Parsons of Parsonsburg would be buried in Parsonsburg. But God brought me up. He taught me the good word of God. I thought my home church and my preacher would always be my preacher, because sometimes that's just how we always think. But I've learned that we age, things move on. The will of God moves us to right where He wants us when He wants us. And it doesn't mean that the service or the church or anything is wrong with something or someplace. It just means God has got His hand on me and He placed me in a place. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, Haines City, Florida. If you had asked me where it was on a map, I'm not kidding you, 2 decades ago in my life, if you had asked me where that place was, I'd just say, I don't know where that place is. But God knew where it was all the time. And it is amazing how supernatural my God is, that He all along was preparing and working and moving and then picked me up and placed me for the place where I was made for. The place that God had prepared my life for. And I couldn't have picked it on my own. I could just follow His leading and His guidance. See, God didn't supernaturally pull a star out of heaven and let me follow. That was His Son's star. But His Son is a star to me. And I've been following it since I've been saved. And His star is found all through His Word, His Son. And as I followed His Son and His will and His Word, I see the same thing happen to the wise men. After they found Jesus, they didn't get any star to lead them home. They only had God's word. God said, don't go back the way you came. You go back another way. Do you know, just like the wise men progressed, they saw a supernatural thing in creation. Even today, God draws men into Himself. They look up at the night sky and say, I don't know who You are, God, but if You'll reach to me, I'll follow You. God, if You would help me find Your truth. Boy, that the supernatural stars of heaven led the wisdom of wise men to bring them to a place to find Jesus and accept Him. To fall on their face. Supernatural birth. You know what happened to me after I came to a place where I knew who God was? I had a supernatural birth. I was born again into the family of God. See, Jesus had a supernatural birth so that I could have one. So that you could have one. So that you could be born again. See, I love Nicodemus because he was ignorant like the rest of us. He said, what do you mean, born again? Can I go into my mother's womb? See, that's the natural man's thinking. Supernatural says I can be born again, not by water and a blood, but by blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized into the family of God, not through baptism, but through it baptizing or surrendering to faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is to follow, to show everybody else a picture of what happened to me in salvation, my new birth. How about this? A special birthplace, a supernatural birthplace. You know what's supernatural in this world and the world is scared to death of? What you're sitting in today. Not the building, but the body of Jesus Christ. Just like God had prepared a supernatural place for His Son, God has prepared a supernatural place for His people. A church, a called out assembly for people to meet and gather together in. It's supernatural. People don't understand why we leave everything we're doing during the week and the first day of the week meet together. They don't understand that. They don't understand why we give our money to that thing. Why do you give your tithe? I don't give my money to the church. I give my money to God. They don't understand it. But boy, if they came to a supernatural revealing of Jesus Christ and born again, they'd start understanding it like you do. Born again, given a supernatural place to be born into in the local body of believers, the church of the living God. How about this? A supernatural guidance. You know, just like, hey, I want you to see this. Joseph hears from an angel. Now, there's a bunch of people that don't like this kind of stuff, but this is inspired of God. And being warned of God in a dream. They didn't have revealed printed scripture. God showed up at night in a dream and told them. Brother Scotty just the other week was saying about how there are people in Iran that are getting dreams that they should seek out the Bible. That they should seek out the Word of God and Jesus Christ. You say, God doesn't work that way. How do you know? He worked that way in His Scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, warned of God in a dream? These people accepted Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so glad that I have the Word of God. I don't have a star set. I have a road map laid out for my life. How to live, how to walk, where I should go, how I should talk, how I should live, how I should give. Supernatural. Forever settled in heaven. Every word perfect. People argue with us. Even the guy said, yeah, I don't know if you realize this, and I'll finish here. That third verse, I wrote that one. Why? Because we live in an age of in a day where people can't understand that when you preserve inspiration, it's still inspired. They think somehow we doubled down on inspiration. I did. I just continue to believe that what you put in is what you get out when it's preserved. And if it went in inspired, it came out inspired. And so though Dr. Drydust and all the people that think they are truly wise men will stand back and doubt the Word of God, I'll just trust it until I get to heaven. I'll call it inspired all the way to heaven. And this book goes on, you know, this book speaks of reward. You know, this is a time of year where gifts are given, right? Do you know that there's going to be a day supernaturally I stand before God and He makes me recall everything that I've ever done? Not my sins, because they're under the blood of Jesus Christ, but all the opportunities I had to serve Him. And I'll have opportunity to watch myself where I fulfilled those opportunities and when I squandered them. And I will be rewarded for the ones. And you know what? One of the things that God has given every believer is the opportunity to just believe God's word and obey it. It's so simple. But so often we look at this book like it is a book of thou shalt and thou shalt nots, when it's a book that guides us, keeps us from going back to Herod and to go another way. I'm so glad that Jesus, this is no mistake that they chose the words the way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, something supernatural could happen to you this morning. You could pass from death unto life. You could be born again into the family of God by simply trusting in the guidebook that God has left, by simply putting your faith and trust in the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know Him. I pray that you would accept Him. If you're here this morning and you say, well, preacher, I didn't realize that Christmas had all these supernatural things. Everything involved with God and His book, you can see the supernatural imprints of God's plan and purpose through the ages if you just look for it in His Word, but especially around Christmas time. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you'll stand to your feet, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I pray you'll do this. You'd step out from your seat. This invitation is for you. I invite you to come and meet me at the altar this morning, and that you'd be saved. Let me take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. As the musicians come and Brother Burt begins to sing, you step out and come.